It said that the seed was sown. The seed is the Word of God. Then cometh the devil. When? As soon as the seed is sown. No sooner does an animal fall dead on the desert than the vultures appear to pick apart his body. Strange thing about that, there may not be a vulture within sight. It seems that there is not a vulture within miles. And yet no sooner does the dead animal lie prone on the desert until the vultures appear. No sooner does the seed of this book land until the great vulture of all appears. You know what the devil is? The devil is a good beginning fighter. The initial round. Then cometh the devil. When? The minute the seed hits. The devil knows that if the seed is allowed to go into the ground and germinate, he doesn't have much chance. So rather than fight the plant when it grows, though he'll do that, he centers most of his attention on fighting or gathering the seed when it's dropped. When did the devil first appear on the face of the earth? In Noah's day? No. No, when the first man and first woman were here. Into what garden did the devil come and tempt man and woman? In the first garden. When God created Adam and Eve, then the devil came. When did the devil tempt Jesus? In the latter days of his ministry? No, in the early days of his ministry. Our Lord was baptized in Jordan, declaring publicly his ministry as beginning, and immediately he goes to the wilderness and fasts 40 days and 40 nights. And when does the devil come? At the first. At the first. Now you mark it down, brother. If you can get over the first of anything for God, you've made the biggest hurdle. Listen, that's one reason. That's the main reason why I baptize converts the same day they get saved. Why? More people stumble in the Christian life between the altar and the baptistry than in any other part of the Christian life. You check it out and you'll see it's true. You'll find more people drop out of church, quit the Christian life, quit serving God between the altar and the baptistry. Why? Because the devil gets them. He knows as soon as they hit their knees, that altar, if he can get them to disobey the first command, immediately he knows he's pretty well got them. And I think it's a pretty sad situation across America when preachers discourage people in obeying God in the first step of the Christian life. To me, that's one of the saddest things in the world. Preachers say, well, I think you ought to wait and see if you know that they're saved. You can wait 1,000 years and you won't know if they're saved. Amen. No way you can know. Not a way. You don't even know your wife is saved. You probably know she's not, but you don't even know. You don't know whether I'm saved or not. And I don't know whether you're saved or not. I doubt if you are, but I don't know. And you don't know about Ray Boardway. You don't know about Sully. C.W. Fisk. You don't know about Dr. Evans, Dr. Helton, Dr. Billings, Dr. Vineyard, Brother Colston. He's bound to be saved. God preserveth the simple, the Bible says. But you don't know. No, you don't know. And this thing of saying, let's wait and be sure they're saved, you'll never know. That's hypocrisy. That's unscriptural. That's one reason why when a person gets saved, he ought to head for the baptistry. Why? So he can obey God in the first step immediately and get in the habit of obeying God. But you say, well, I tell you what, I want to weed out the tares from the wheat. God said, that's not your business. He said, let the tares and wheat grow together and the angels will weed them out at the end time. He says, you'll never know who's wheat and who's tares. There's no way. Well, you say, I can tell you what, if they stay in church and read their Bibles and come to church faithfully and tithe for 6 months, that proves they're saved. Doesn't either. The Bible says the tares look exactly like the wheat. And you can't even tell them apart. Now, the honest truth is, the most important part of any venture, any organization, any work, is the first part. And the devil knows it. So, as soon as something for God is started, the devil comes and snatches away the seed. Let's take the matter of soul winning. I'm going to list a few of them tonight. Just going to call off a few of them and say a few words about them. Times that the things the devil attacks at the first. You folks know what I'm talking about. Hey, fellas. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, Brother Fist, you know it. All of these soul winners know it. You're trying to win a person to Christ. You talk about the weather, and the baby doesn't cry. You talk about the gasoline shortage, and the baby doesn't cry. You chat a while, and the baby doesn't cry. You tell her how to be saved, and instead of bow our heads to pray, and the devil breaks a pin. I sort of say a bobby pin, not a bobby pin on the diaper. The devil breaks a diaper pin, sticks the baby in the, and the baby begins to cry. Why? Then cometh the devil and snatcheth the seed away. Then cometh the devil. In the matter of soul winning. How many times have you fellows and you folks who go soul winning seen it? You sit there and you talk for 30 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour and nothing happens. And now you say, do you know you're a sinner? Do you know if you died you'd go to hell? Do you know that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin? Would you trust him as your Savior? Yes, I would. Let's bow our heads for prayer and the telephone rings. Why? Then cometh the devil and snatcheth the seed away. You say, now let's bow for prayer. And you told her how to be saved. And let's bow for prayer. And then the doorbell. Then the telephone. Then the baby cries. Then the beans burn. I recall one night we were in Texas. Bob Keys and I were out soul winning in a mobile home. We called on trailer courts in Texas, but in a mobile home park. And Bob Keys was doing the soul winning, and I was praying for him and taking care of necessary details. And so Bob told the lady how to be saved, no problem whatsoever. None at all, no problem. We chatted for a while, no problem. We talked about the weather, no problem. He told her how to be saved, and not a thing. And then he said, let's bow our heads for prayer. And the baby began to cry. And I said, she said, I've got to get the baby. Then cometh the devil and snatcheth the seed away. And I said, no, don't worry about that. I said, I'll take care of the baby. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I said, you go ahead. I'll take care of the baby. And so I went in the bedroom, and I wished that I had not said, I'll take care of the baby. And I couldn't find any diapers. And I pulled out every drawer in that bedroom trying to find diapers. And there Dr. Jack Hiles was changing a baby diaper. And, Lord, you never said a word about that when you called me to preach. But I changing a baby diaper, the lady got saved. Of course, you wouldn't do that. You're so spiritual, you wouldn't do that. And the lady probably die and go to hell. But I was changing the baby's diaper. Now, why did the baby have to be changed at that minute? Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. You're taking the matter of invitation time. You fellows who preach, you know as well as I know, you can preach an entire sermon and say, let's stand, give the invitation, and what happens? A fire truck comes by. Police car comes by with siren. And I don't like these new. I like the. But a police car comes by and a light begins to flash. And time and time again, I've seen it. The baby cries. It's been good all during the service. Or somebody faints. And somebody has a heart attack. When? During invitation. Or a tape recorder goes haywire. And you hear a voice going, ah! And when? You're an invitation. Why? Then cometh the devil and snatcheth the seed away. Listen, I fought that crooked rascal for all as many years. I get where I know him pretty well. And that's one reason why I say, take your baby to the nursery. You know why? I know when the devil's going to stick that baby with a pen. When the seed's planted. Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Did you know in the preaching of a sermon, I found it's true. Did you know when the hardest part of a sermon is? Right at the first. I was preaching in Natchez, Mississippi one night. As you know, I have a habit of hitting the Bible or hitting the pulpit like that. And I've done it for years. Just haul off and hit the pulpit. And so I was in Natchez, Mississippi. Got up and was trying to get the attention of the people and thought I'd do it by hitting the pulpit. And I hit the pulpit good and hard. I didn't know it was made out of beaver board. And my hand kept on going. And I couldn't get it out. And there I was preaching along, and it started bleeding, and I couldn't get my hand out. And they had to come and saw me out. When? First part of the sermon. First part of the sermon. Why? Because the devil. You stand up to preach the word. Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Dr. John Rice and I were down in West Palm Beach, Florida one night preaching. I had a cute little lamp here on the pulpit, right here, the kind that shaded from the people and the shines, you know, long like this and shines down on the Bible. And I got to preach, and I tried to get the attention of the people, and I hauled off and did like that. Hit the lamp, knocked it off, broke it in, I guess, 1,000 pieces on the tile floor. And when I first started preaching, why? Then open the Bible, then cometh the devil. Then people oftentimes say, "Brother House, you're sort of nervous. You're sort of fidgety. It bothers you when people walk." No, it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers sinners. Then cometh the devil. You say, "Brother House, it sure upsets Brother House when a baby cries." No, it upsets heaven when a baby cries. When a sinner's right behind the baby and gets his attention on the baby, it's the devil snatching the seed away. Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. And so I was preaching, knocked on him. I never forget it, because a year later, went back to the same church in West Palm Beach. They had the same lamp, not the same one, but the same kind up here. And I was worried sick. Sat up here and I said, "How in the world will I make it through this service?" I got up and I thought, "Now I'm going to be careful." The devil won the victory last year. Right the first of the sermon, something happened that distracted the people, ruined the service. What happened? I stood up, got away from the lamp, hit the pulpit way back here at the back. And then cometh the devil in the form of two deacons. One came down this aisle with a pair of pliers. One came down this aisle with a screwdriver. And right in the first of my message, they dismantled the lamp and put it on the Lord's Supper table, looked up and said, "We thought we'd save you the trouble of knocking it off this year." What happened? Then cometh the devils. Then. It's like that little girl, a little Lorna Mengay, when she was a little girl. She told her father, Dr. Mengay, shortly after they got saved, he got saved, they moved down to Champaign, and she said, I like First Baptist Church because the pastor stands behind the pulpit and all the demons sit on the front row. And then cometh the demons. And then when? When the word is sown. I've seen it again and again. I've seen it not only then. I was preaching in Bill Rice Ranch one night. And I've got a habit of hitting the pulpit and shaking the pulpit. And I stood up and I was hoping to get the thing started. And I grabbed the pulpit and shook it good and hard. And I jerked it back like that. And the whole top of the pulpit came off. And there I was, standing back here, holding the pulpit, bearing the pulpit like this. What happened? Then cometh the devil and taketh the pulpit off. And then, when? Then! Why? The word's being preached. Then! In Texas, the church I pastored was about as far as from here to, as far as from here to Jack Fox, about a block away, was a tower, 50,000 watt radio station. This KRLD, 50,000 watt station, AM station. And we had several times, all of a sudden, somehow or other, our PA system would pick up the KRLD. And we had the only church in America where you could come and hear rock music while the preacher preached. But strange thing, there never was any rock music or bad music that came through on our PA system during our song service. Never was. In 6 years and 8 months, I pastored that church, not one time did the news come on over during our song service or our PA system. We decided to have a church orchestra. And so we got a church orchestra. In that orchestra was a steel guitar. And so the first night we had that orchestra, time came for the invitation, and we started the invitation. And Elvis Presley started singing "Hound Dog" over that steel guitar. It didn't come out of the PA system. It came out of the steel guitar. Now, how in the world steel guitar picked up? Did you know that electric ranges would pick up that station sometimes? Really? You didn't turn on the radio. You turned on your stove to hear it. That's one reason why the church grew so rapidly. We had Elvis singing for us almost every Sunday. But strange thing, Elvis never came on during the song service. Never. We never had any interruption during the announcements. Never. Every time we ever had KRLD coming on over our PA system or over the steel guitar. It was always when I first started preaching or just when we started the invitation. Why? Then cometh the devil. Girls on the back row back there, listen. Then cometh the devil. By the way, that's why young folks talk in church and old folks too. Pastor stands up to preach and somebody ought to be saved and God's trying to work on somebody's heart and somebody talks and diverts someone's attention. What is it? Then cometh the devil. That's what it is. Then cometh the devil. That's one reason why that the choir ought to sing its best at the first of the invitation. Why? Then cometh the devil. That's one reason why the pastor ought to preach his best when he first stands up. Why? Then cometh the devil. That's one reason why the opening song in the service is the most important song of the service. Part of the invitation. Why? When it starts, then cometh the devil. That's why somebody ought to stand back. The ushers ought to be as friendly and as courteous as they can. The first impression folks have of our church ought to be a friendly, warm impression. Why? When we start, then cometh the devil. He comes when the seed is sown. He comes at the start. Not only is that true for soul winning, the invitation, the first part of the sermon, it's true in pastor school. Did you know that for all these years in pastor school, we have more trouble, more opposition, more complaining the first day than all the rest of the days put together? 2 years ago, on the first day, as you know, my office is in the back. I have a restroom on in my office and has a window there. And sometimes I'll open that window a little bit. And 2 years ago, some ladies were going by. And they were talking about me, criticizing me on the first day. And they were letting me have it. And I just stood up on the only thing to stand up on in there and stuck my head out the window and said, "Hello, how are you?" And we had four preachers were widowers immediately when their wives dropped dead in the alley. And now, the first day, the devil causes more folks to be unhappy. He causes more folks to stir up trouble, causes more folks to complain the first day of pastor school. Why? Then cometh the devil. We're about to plant the seed. The devil looks down and he sees the potential. He knows when 2,000 preachers gather here at First Baptist Church of Hammond, he knows we're going to try to stir their souls and set them on fire and send them back to get people saved. And the devil doesn't want to see people saved. And that's the reason he causes trouble right at the first. You know why? The devil knows that's why we have this church with a heart on Monday night. Because we want to get a stick and beat the devil out of the devil right off the bat. Why? Because the first service is important. Then cometh the devil. When the preachers get here. Then, listen, you know, they have more trouble the first day with motel rooms, more trouble the first day with cold water and hot water heater broken in motel rooms, more trouble the first day with people complaining, more trouble the first day with flat tires. If you notice it, we'll have snow on the first day of pastor school more than any other day of pastor school. Why? Then cometh the devil. What's the devil's business? It says it right here. It says he wants to take the word out of their hearts. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. The devil looks out and he sees America going to hell. And by the way, with all these dirty, nude streakers and all these colleges losing every ounce and vestige of decency and principles and girls sitting in windows with nothing on their bodies and sitting in windows with their back facing a bunch of naked boys and a bunch of spineless professors and administrators and policemen with no courage and conviction. The devil knows he's got America. And so the devil, "I've got it." He sees a group of preachers gathering here at First Baptist Church of Hammond, and he sees the tears that fall from this preacher and others who have a hunger to stir these preachers for God and send them back home a fire for God. And the devil knows it. So what does he do? Then cometh the devil. When? First day of pastor school. First day. The devil comes to you. He says, "You're keeping a preacher, aren't you? In your home?" "Yep." "Okay. Keep him up to 2:00 in the morning the first night. That way, if he's sleepy by Tuesday morning, he'll go to sleep in class and he won't listen. He won't get what he's there for, and he won't get on fire for God, and he won't go home, build a great church, and he won't see people saved. If you stay awake past midnight keeping these preachers up fellowshipping, don't you laugh about it. Don't you laugh about it. Satan is using you." Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. He sees the potential. Same thing's true about a spring program. Then cometh the devil. He sees the souls. He sees the children. He sees the ghetto kids in Chicago. He looks out and sees next Sunday morning hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people coming to First Baptist Church of Hammond who've never even heard how to be saved. And he wants them to go to hell. And so what does he do? What does he do? He cometh, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Listen, the first vestige of trouble that I had as pastor of this church before we had a big blow up 14 years ago, the first vestige of trouble came over the first spring program I tried to promote in this church. The first day of the first spring program. Some of you folks remember it. We were going to have a contest between the church I used to pastor and the church, this church. Miller Road Baptist Church versus First Baptist Church of Hammond. And it may have been a little premature. Maybe I didn't use the best judgment in all the world. I've been known to be that way. And so we put an American flag up here on one side and a Confederate flag. That wasn't the thing to do. Confederate flag over here on the other side. Put my picture about that big over here by the American flag. Can you feature that? My picture, not with the rebel flag. And put the pastor of the church where I had pastored, his big picture, over on the other side. And then cometh the devil and snatcheth a flag away. And then he came. And the trouble started. When? The first day of the first spring program of the first year I was pastor of this church. Why? He looked out and saw all the kids going to be saved. He looked out and saw the crowds. He saw what this church was going to be. And the devil said, I'll get that fella. I'll get rid of him. I'll stop that church. It hadn't been for the power of God and the faithfulness of our people to the truth of God, he would have stopped it too. And think of the millions of people that would have died and gone to hell who've been saved because of the influence of this great church. Now we face the pastor school. Let's not let the devil use us. We face a spring program. Let's not let the devil use us. Then cometh the devil. Then come when? When the seed is sown. On the first day. On the first time. At the first of the sermon. At the first of soul winning, invitation, sermon, pastor school, spring program. That isn't all. Did you know that in a pastorate, when a preacher goes to a church, do you know when the devil fights the most? When he first gets there. When he first gets there. Ask any preacher. When is the hardest battle? When he first gets there. Then cometh the devil. One of our preacher boys called me the other day. He said, I've been here 3 months now. Brother Howes, I need your help. Having trouble. Now, let me tell you what to criticize. It happens every time. All of our boys, with very few exceptions, have the same troubles. They don't like the invitations. Lest they should believe and be saved. Huh? If a fellow doesn't like the invitation, I wonder who sent him to argue and gripe. Who is it that doesn't want folks to be saved? The Lord? No, it's the devil. Check the criticism that these preacher boys get. What? They say it all over. Oh, just so don't like all these little dirty bus kids. Ever since you've been here, we just had a bunch of dirty bus kids messing up our building. Then cometh the devil. What's he fighting? Soul winning. When I first came to Hammond, a fellow who was quite wealthy came to me. Patted his personality and looked at me and said, what are we going to do with all these little bus kids running around here? And I said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to love the fire out of them. He said, if they stay, I go. And hallelujah, they stayed and he went. And I considered it a wonderful trade, a wonderful trade. Now I'm simply saying, what does the devil fight? The bus ministry. Hey, criticism you hear at First Baptist Church, what is it? Long invitations. What is it? We sing the invitation too fast. What is it? Buses go in front of our church. Oh, I saw a bus come by here the other day from a Central Baptist Church of East Chicago. Ooh, they're working our field. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And everybody on Sibley Street we can't get, I hope they get them. Or somebody else gets them that preaches the gospel. Now praise the Lord for it. The other day I was driving down the street going home to church and saw a bus from another church. I think it was Central Baptist East Chicago. Not sure which one. But anyway, it wasn't far from here. I jumped out of my car. "Hey, come here to me!" And the fellow thought I was going to fight him. He said, "What's wrong?" I said, "What are you doing over here in this part of town?" Well, he said, "I'm picking up kids to go to Sunday school." I said, "This is First Baptist Church Parish." And he said, well, I said, "I'm Father Hyams." And then he began to laugh. And I wish I knew what church. I'm not sure. But anyway, he was in our, and I thank God for it. Well, what do folks criticize about us? Bus ministry. Why? Listen, the devil. Did you ever hear anybody say, "I can't stand First Baptist Church of Hammond because the carpet's too soft"? "I can't stand First Baptist Church Hammond. I just don't like the wood on the back of the choir." The thing I don't like about the choir is the wood on between the shoulders of the men that sing in the choir. But I just don't like it. No, it's always. "I just don't believe in going house to house and bothering folks. I think folks ought to make their own choice." Soul winning. Why? Then cometh the devil. When does he come to a church? Listen, we had more war the first year I was here than we've had in the last 13 and a half put together. Why? Then cometh the devil. Same thing's true about a college student. Hey, when did you really have your problems in college when you first got here? The devil looks down and sees you in a pulpit somewhere, you young preacher. He sees you pastoring a great church. He knows. If he can get you to go home, if he can get you to cowardly pack your grip and go home and not prepare yourself and not get ready and not learn what we have to offer you here, he knows he can limit your ministry immeasurably. So then cometh the devil. When? First week. Hey, married preachers, when you got here and you moved in that first apartment, what'd your wife do? Did she say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me"? No, she didn't bless the Lord. She blessed you out for several days. You know why? Because the devil wants you to go home. And by the way, when did your kid get the sickest? Right after you got here, wasn't it? And when were you the most homesick? Right after you got here. Why? When the seed is planted, then cometh the devil. He wants you unprepared. He wants you to go off half-cocked. Listen, I know a half a dozen young men whom God could have used mightily in His service who decided that after 1 year of Hiles Anderson, that's all they needed. And they took off and went out half-cocked. And you mark it down. They're not going to be even a fraction of what they could have been for God. You know why? Then cometh the devil and snatcheth the seed away. Here are some teachers who have something to give you. Here's a church that has something to give you. Here's a school that has a course prescribed to lay out before you. And you say, "I want to go home. I don't want to stay. I feel led to go." Don't blame God for the fact that you're a quitter. Then cometh the devil. When? The first day, the first week, the first month. Then cometh the devil. That's when you're unhappy, your wife's unhappy, the baby's sick, you're homesick, and the most critical. You become the most critical. Why? The devil's trying to get you out immediately. Same thing's true when a person surrenders to preach. Young men come to me and say, "Well, how's that? God called me to preach. I don't think I'm really called because ever since I surrendered to preach, I've had nothing but trouble." I like what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say to Dr. John Rice. He said, "Dr. Rice, we don't cause trouble. We don't have trouble. We cause it." Dr. Rice says, Brother Roloff was preaching one time on, if you drink carrot juice, you wouldn't have as many ulcers. And he's preaching on a subject, and a mule walked on, one of his great theological dissertations. And and I was sitting over here between Dr. John Rice and Dr. Bob Jones Sr. And Brother Roloff was saying, "You don't have to have all these ulcers." Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to do his coat like this. He leaned across me and he said to Dr. Rice, he said, "Dr. John, we don't have ulcers, do we? We cause them." Brother Olaf started preaching on television. Boy, he busted television all to pieces. He said it's a sin to even have one, even know about who anybody that does have one, or visit somebody that has one, or even know anybody that has one, or stay in a motel that has one. So Brother old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. looked across and he said, "Dr. John, I still like I Love Lucy." Amen. You still like I Love Lucy, yeah? I won't say this, but I was staying in a motel one time in a room next to Jim Vineyard. I won't say what he was watching. I will say the television was on until way past midnight, and there was only one station in the whole town, and there was a midnight movie on that station. Now, I would not tell you what he was watching. I have no idea. But that sure he wasn't watching the movie. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But now I've forgotten where I was now. And you're glad, aren't you? Then cometh the devil, snatcheth the seed away. The hardest time you'll ever have. The devil will give you more trouble right after you surrender to preach than the other time. So I had nothing. A young man said to me the other day, said, "Every time I get right with God, things start going bad. So I just don't want to be close to God." Of course they start going bad. Well, you know why? Then cometh the devil. You walk down the aisle tonight and surrender to preach. If you're married, your baby will have 103 fever before you get to the nursery. And the stopper on your bathtub will be broken tomorrow morning. And a dog will get your garbage and spread it all over the yard tonight. Why? Then cometh the cocker spaniel. Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. When you first start. That's one reason why when a person first starts anything for God, he ought to say, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to stick. I'm not going to give up." Listen, you take a bus route, then cometh the devil. You take a Sunday school class, then cometh the devil. You decide to serve God, then cometh the devil. You decide to quit smoking, then cometh the devil. You lay aside your liquor, then cometh the devil. You decide to live for God and come to church on Wednesday night, then cometh the devil. You start tithing, then cometh the devil. You mark it down, every step of progress you make, he's going to challenge you immediately after you make that step of progress. Then cometh the devil. Let me ask you a question. Have you yielded to his early attacks? Did you promise God you'd tithe and you started tithing, then the devil came and you backed out? Did you promise God you'd serve him in some way, then came the devil and you backed out? Don't you let that stinking buzzard have his will in your life. I'll bind you one thing, if you'll bear the toil at first, and if you'll fight him at first, and if you'll take this word and use this word on him at first, I'll bind you one thing. You'll get the victory sooner or later, and you'll have a happy, fulfilling, enriching life you never knew you could have before. Tough it out. Tough it out. The hardest day of my ministry was January the 1st, 1945. God called me to preach December the 31st, 1944, and the worst day of my ministry, and the more attacks I had, and the hardest day of my ministry, my life, after I surrendered to preach, was the first day, January the 1st, 1945. You'll forgive me for saying this, but on that day, within 12 hours after I surrendered my life to preach the gospel, my dad had pushed me down for it and kicked me in the ribs for it because he didn't want me to be a preacher. Did you know that's one reason? You know where these streakers came from? Huh? They came from Dr. Spock. How did Dr. Spock ruin this nation? Huh? The baby was born, then cometh the devil. You got the baby in the crib, then cometh the devil. And these streakers are the kids that Dr. Spock taught us how to rear. I noticed that he's repented a little bit and apologized. Well, isn't that nice? I mean, he ruins America and says, uh-oh. And let me tell you, Dr. Spock, wherever you are, you're still going to face the wrath and judgment of Almighty God for the influence for wrong and sin and filth that you've had on this nation. I don't care how many times you put it in the newspaper, you're sorry. Uh-ohs won't take care of it. When did our nation start going to bad? When the children were born, then we didn't spank them. Then we didn't discipline them. Then we didn't retard their progress. Then we didn't teach them. Then we didn't have them live a disciplined life. Then they didn't respect authority. Listen, you don't let a child respect authority till he's 5 years of age, he's gone. He's gone. Then cometh the devil. But you say he's too cute to spank. He's not near as cute when he says no later on. Say, Sonny, son, sit still. No, isn't that cute? You grab him up by his curly locks,
amen.
Get a pair of scissors and cut him off and turn him upside down, and you wail the tar out of the place that God biologically gave where no bones can get broken and where he won't die. And but you say, well, when he holds his breath and turns blue. I used to do the same thing when David would hold his breath. He'd go, I'd go. And then he'd really get mad then. Then cometh the devil. And I'm not the devil either, by the way. Oh, shut up. Then cometh the devil. I'm simply saying this. Any endeavor you start, whether it's rearing a child, teaching a Sunday school class, starting a church, going to a Christian college, whatever it is, you put the boot in the tire that hits the ground, the spot hits the ground first. You undergird that first day. I don't know what you do. God calls you to Hiles Anderson College, and you come here, and you get homesick, and you can't find a job right away, and the baby is not well, and the wife says she's going to take off and go back home, and the car has a flat, and the transmission goes out, and the neighbor's dog comes over and he claws your flowers all up, and everything's going bad. You just say, listen to me, old devil. You're not going to talk me into leaving. I came in God's will, and you can do what you want to. You can huff and puff, and you're not going to blow my house in. I am going to serve the Lord. Now, you chase him off. You put him to flight then. See? He knows what you're made out of. He knows it. I mean, just don't quit. But the house, I took a bus route, and the first Sunday is 20 below zero. Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Well, I've tried to serve God, and everything's gone wrong ever since. Brother, either the things go wrong in the will of God and go right outside the will of God, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. Thinking last night, I was talking to one of our young ladies. By the way, let me say this. I guess I should have said this a long time ago. Our generation's a bit different from what it used to be. When I was a kid, only 5% of high school graduates went to college. Now most everybody does. Our society is so constructed that a college education is so important. That I think, honestly, 17-year-old boys and girls ought not to even begin to think about marriage. Now, I say this very lovingly and kindly, but I say it sincerely and honestly and frankly. But I was talking to a young lady about it, and I won't divulge anything that would let anybody know who she is. But I said, did you know that people change their minds? In the early part of a person's life, a person has to watch it very, very carefully, or he'll do some things that'll wreck him for his entire life. The devil comes in the early years. And kids, the devil wants you mighty bad. Mighty bad. He wants you. He wants you not to believe what's preached from this pulpit. He wants you to talk in the service. He wants you talking tonight, right now, so you won't get what I'm telling you right now. You know what? It's not the fact that you get wigglesome. It's the devil that puts that wigglesomeness in you. He doesn't want you to get this. Because He wants you. He wants you mighty bad. And in the early years, He fights the hardest. Now you take a fellow like this, sit on in, Jim Vineyard, old, bald-headed, fat. If the devil got him, he'd be more a liability than he would an asset. I mean, the devil couldn't afford to pay his doctor bills even. No, I'm just saying, the devil will fight you a lot more than he'll fight him. You know why? Because the devil doesn't want you to have the years he's had serving God. He wants you awful bad, kids. Awful bad. And I got on my knees in my office one night, and I decided the devil might get our kids, but he wouldn't get you unless I gave him the fight of his life. And then he may get you, but if he gets any of you, he's going to have a mighty tough time with me, because I'm going to fight for you as long as I got a breath. I worry about some of you. I'm worried about some of you right now. Because I know this, the devil's after you. He comes at the first. Pastor stand and preach to you, then cometh the devil. Mothers and dads try to teach you and pray for you, then cometh the devil at the first. Bible didn't say that the seed was sown. It laid there a while. The devil looked down and said, I believe that seed's going to make a plant. I better go chop that plant down. No, the Bible knows if you chop, the devil knows if he chops that plant down, it can still grow up in the roots again. The devil wants you before you take root. He wants you now. He'll do everything he can to get you. He wants to ruin our pastor school. He wants to ruin our spring program. He wants to ruin Hiles Anderson College in these early days. You don't know. You will never know how I ride herd on Hiles Anderson College. I mean, I don't go out there much, but I'm lurking in the shadows. And the shadow knows. I mean, I'm there. And I'll tell you, if I see the least little trend, boy, I jump on it just like that. You know why? Because the devil wants our school, and these are the serious days. Until the roots, while the roots are going down, and while the roots are spreading, until they get full grown, the devil wants us to have more superstructure than when we have roots. He wants us to bring a bunch of kids here from all over America and not get deep enough and enough roots. And these are the important days. Same thing's true with our high schools. Then, our high school and grade schools, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Not after a while. Oh, he'll stick with you till you get to heaven. He'll leave you then, by the way. But he'll stick with you as long as you're here. But in the early days, he fights the most. The early days. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, then cometh the devil. Jesus starting his early ministry, then cometh the devil. Job becoming wealthy and a great Christian, then cometh the devil. Seed is sown, then cometh the devil. Young folks that sit in services like this and say, I can't see eye to eye with Brother Hiles. I just don't agree with Brother Hiles. And I don't believe in all these rules. You think it's you. You say, I'll break the yoke. I'll be free. What you don't know is in the very unshackling of the yoke, the devil is binding you with another one. And it's the devil's slavery that causes you to pull off the slavery for Christ. And that's what the Bible means when it says they exchange their yokes of wood for yoke of iron. Here's a young person says, I won't do what the preacher says. He has no right to tell me what to do. If I won't take dope, I will. And so you free yourself from the chains of the preacher and bind yourself with the chains of dope. Nobody tells me whether I take a drink or not. I'll drink if I want to. I'm free. And so you free yourself from a yoke of wood of the rules of a school and a preacher and bind yourself with the yoke of iron with a liquor bottle. These dumb college students running naked around the campuses. We want to be free. We want to be free. We want to be free. What they don't know is this. They have sold themselves to the slavery of passion, and they're slaves to their passions tonight. They're not free. They're slaves. They've never known such slavery. And there's more freedom in staying within the boundary of this book and staying with playing according to the rules of this book and being slaves to this book than there is to breaking the yoke that binds us to Christ and to what's right and decent. For as soon as you unbind your yoke that Christ has on you, 'tis another yoke that's stronger that brought you from that one. Somebody said the other day to me, I don't believe in all these boundaries. There's something about boundaries that's mighty comforting to me. Did you know boundaries not only restrict you from going outside, but they also restrict the outside from getting you? A fence not only keeps the kid inside, it keeps the bad dog outside. And when we say, don't do this, 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 and a fence is around your life, you say, I want to be free, you're the freest then you'll ever be. For when you decide, little boy, to climb outside that fence, and that bulldog waiting outside gets you, you'll be a bigger slave to that bulldog than you ever were inside that fence. And you can move around more inside a fence than you can with a bulldog hanging onto the seat of your britches, too. Yes, you can. I'm simply saying this. Right now, some of you have started something. Then cometh the devil. You got a Sunday school class, and you just started, and you're about to quit. Then cometh the devil. You got a bus route. You just started. You're about to quit. Then cometh the devil. You've gone to Hammond Baptist High School or grade schools and you're about to give up. And suddenly you can't make your payment. Then, listen, sell your car if you've got to keep your kids in a Christian school. Ride a bicycle. Then cometh the devil. Come off to school. You're about to turn like a yellow-spined coward. As I said before, if you decide to quit college and quit, don't you come by and tell me goodbye. I don't want to see you. I've said before, get in a sewer and crawl out of the city in the sewer line. I hate the word quit with a passion. On my desk tonight or in my library tonight is a Webster's Intercollegiate Dictionary. When I bought it, I did exactly what I do to all my dictionaries when I get them. I turn to the letter Q and look up the word quit and get my scissors and cut it out. I don't want it on my desk. I turn to the word compromise and I cut it out. I don't want it on my desk. You just got here. You're homesick. Why, of course you're homesick. I just want to see Mother. Well, if you'll come after the service, I'll burp you. Do you think you're the first college student ever went to college and wanted to see Mother? Huh? There are two kinds of college students. Kinds of college students that go and are homesick and go home and quit college, and the kind that are just as homesick that have enough character not to quit college. Stick it out! Then cometh the devil. Has he taken any of your plans? Huh? Have you turned back? Are you about to turn back? Have you been saved but not baptized? Then cometh the devil. Have you joined a church yet? Then cometh the devil. Lady said, Brother Howells, I got saved, and since I got saved, my husband's caused me nothing but trouble. He's been mean. We can't get along with each other. Then cometh the devil. Not the husband. Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Don't forget it. Next time you start to do something for God and the next day is a tough day, just remember who it is. And be like old Billy Bray. God bless Billy Bray. The old Carnish coal miner shouted everywhere he went. Somebody said, Billy, you shouldn't shout all the time. He said, Hallelujah. They said, shut your mouth. He said, if my mouth quit shouting, my feet would shout. Every time my left foot hits the ground, it says, Amen. My right foot says, Glory to God. Somebody said, Billy, what if you end up when you die and you end up in hell and you thought you was going to heaven? He said, I'll just shout all the way to hell. He said, think of all the prospects I'll have there. Man, I can witness all over. And he said, I'll just shout, glory to God, I'm in hell, but I'm still saved. I got born again. Hallelujah! And the devil will walk up and say, Billy, you can't shout like that down here. And I'll say, well, I'll be willing to transfer if you'd get me a transfer. I'll just shout all the way to glory. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, Billy, some boys got out across the railroad tracks one night in a dark night. Billy was walking down that dark late at night, and one boy said, this is the devil, Billy, across the tracks over here. He said, hallelujah, glory to God. Billy, this is the devil. What you going to say about that? I'm right over here across the tracks. He just said, I thank God you're on the wrong side of the tracks. And I thank God thou art so far from me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, tough times are going to come. The devil's going to fight you every step of the way. The devil knows what God has used this church to do. And the devil's after us. You mark it down. Every time we start a new bus route, somebody's going to say, I don't believe in and run those buses all over. Did you know I got a letter the other day from one of these action lines in Chicago? Action line. Somebody written a letter to action line. What we're going to do with all these buses. I took action on that letter. This is the kind of action I took.
Amen.
You know why? Because we're going to keep on running buses. That's why. Amen. Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Is he bothering you? Has he gotten the victory? Huh? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight to realize the strategy of the enemy. The strategy of the enemy. He's after the souls of men. He wants to take them to eternal torment. In the name of Jesus tonight, I pray. You'll help us to be wise enough to recognize his tactics. I pray tonight that people who started and quit shall get back and realize it was the devil that caused them to quit. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. What's the message done for you? Oh, not that it was a good message, but it was true and scriptural. Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. Then, at that time, the minute the seed hit the ground, then cometh the devil. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I'm afraid the devil's used me. I'm afraid, I didn't recognize it maybe, but I'm afraid I've been playing into his hands. Something that I have begun for God, I've been tempted to drop. Something I had started for God, I've been tempted to stop. Now I see what it is. I thought it was the Lord telling me I shouldn't do it. Now I realize it's the devil trying to get me to stop. Brother Hiles, God has spoken to my heart about something tonight. Pray for me. Lift your hand, would you please, for prayer? All over the building. All over the building. All over the building. All over the building. God bless you. Are there others? Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to recognize the dragon. Oh, Lucifer himself, help us to see him as he comes in the embryological hours. Help us to see him as he comes at the first of the message, the first of the invitation. Help us to see him as he comes at the first of the Christian life. He says, don't get baptized. Help us to see him as he comes in the first of the college, the first of the ministry.